Good morning. If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are a couple of announcements I want to bring attention to. One is to, we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper today, and there's an article in the bulletin about that. And this is a time to renew your covenant with God, and all members and visitors are welcome to, who are members of a evangelical, Bible-believing church, are welcome to participate. And also, there's a note that Kelly Cox, Tom Cox's wife, her father died this past week, and there's an address in the bulletin if you'd like to send a condolence or anything to him. Also, as you know, we're broadcasting our service on an FM station, and for those in the parking lot, the broadcast will cease at the end of the service, and you won't be able to hear the part about the communion. So just for the ones in the parking lot, be aware of that. Okay? Are there any other announcements? Okay, hearing none, if you would, let's do the unison reading that's printed together in the bulletin. And it reads,
"This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. We exalt thee.
Oh,
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning just exalting your name and praising you and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that you be with each and every one that's here and those that can't be here for whatever reason, Lord. We ask that you just put your arms of comfort around each and every one of us, guide us, direct us, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn your hymnal to number 111. Number 111, we come, O Christ, to you. If you would take your bulletin, let's turn to the inside cover, and we're going to do the shorter catechism question 89 and 90 this morning. Question 89 reads, how is the Word of God made effectual to salvation?
The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation.
How is the Word of God to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation?
So that the Word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives.
Now turn your hymnal to number 281. Number 281. Jesus paid it all.
As we come to the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Hebrews 13, verse 16. And it says, "Not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such as sacrifices are pleasing to God." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings to you and your storehouse. We ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver. Help us to use them to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As we gather together on this Labor Day weekend, It's a time for us to praise our Lord and to rejoice in Him. He has been so good to us in so many ways, and we trust in Him. We trust Him with not only our present, but also with our future. But we have the opportunity to pray for one another as we gather together. So we'd like to bow at this time and lift up to the Lord our prayer. So let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as the psalmist said, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And we're grateful to be here on this day. And Father, we ask and pray that as we meet together, that our hearts might be lifted to You. That, Father, we would enjoy walking by faith and not by sight as we trust in You as our Lord and as our Savior. Our Father, our prayers do go out for those who are not with us this morning. Lord, whether they're traveling, we ask for their travel mercies and that You would protect them on the roads, that they would come back home safely. And Lord, also for those who, for physical reasons or health reasons, are not here with us. And Lord, we pray and ask that Your healing hand might go out and that You would bring them to complete health. Father, we pray for those this morning that are laboring with problems, with difficulties and struggles, with anxiety. And Lord, we ask and pray that Your gracious hand might rest on them and give them the peace of knowing You've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, no matter what we're passing through, that You're passing through it with us. Our Father, we do ask and pray this morning for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. And we ask You, Lord, that You would continue to minister to this congregation, that You draw us even closer together, especially in this time when we're going through difficult times, difficult struggles. Lord, I pray and ask that You would give us a heart that burns for You and a great love for one another as we draw closer to You. Now, Father, we pray for those special requests that are in our bulletin this morning. We do pray for our missionaries for this week, for Calvin and Susan Jett, who are with Mission to the World in South Africa. And Lord, we pray that You would bless them greatly as they strive to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, also for the persecuted church in Turkey, a small body of Christian believers who are being greatly persecuted, some even being put to death. So Lord, we ask that You would protect them and surround them with Your loving care and with Your protection. Well, Father, we also pray for Bethany Christian Services, for this organization that's seeking to help unwed mothers, and that we ask, Lord, that You would give them wisdom and strength during this time when so many are opposed to what they do. So, Lord, I ask that You would give them a heart for You, that they would stand strong for their faith in Jesus Christ. And, Lord, again, we ask and pray that Your Holy Spirit would be here as we meet together. That, Lord, You would bless us with the joy of our Savior, the joy of our Lord, and that that would be our strength. And we thank You again in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 80. The choir sang in a Getty Townend offertory anthem this morning, Behold the Lamb. And now here's a hymn written by Stuart Townend. So please let's stand and sing this together. How deep the Father's love for us.
Thank you.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, reading verses 28 to 35. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 28 to 35. And hear now the word of God. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and Jesus acted as if they were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has indeed risen. He has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, something that Annie and I enjoy doing in the evening is watching something called street food on YouTube. And street food basically is just the opportunity to go to all different areas of the world and see what people are cooking out on the streets and giving. We just love to see the way different cultures prepare their food. It's very informative. We have to say some of that food, we wouldn't eat it on a bet. But there's a lot of other food, you know. The bad part is that we look at it at night and we have to go to bed with our stomachs growling because the food looks so good. But if you go to YouTube and just type in street food, it takes you all over the world. It's a great thing. You know, more than just the cooking and whatever, we enjoy watching the people eat because they have such relish as they eat this food. They really enjoy it. And if you're any kind of a cook, you know the great pleasure of cooking a meal and seeing people sit down and eating that meal with joy. That's part of it. Food has always been a catalyst for joy and for unity. You know, as people eat, they share what's happening in their lives, like the family sitting down at dinner. And over dinner, they might talk about the events of the day, or maybe it's even a church, as a church gets together and shares a meal, a common meal together. I think right now we call that ancient history, but there was a time when we could all as a church get together and share a meal. And during that time, there was great joy that would just come out of that sharing the meal. You know, it's also a time when, as we would get together, you might learn things about other people, maybe relatives that come by to visit. All of us have those memories. I can remember certain reunions, family reunions that we would go to, and we would learn about different people that we hadn't seen in a long time and find out how their lives were going. And so it's a very social thing. Eating, no matter what country you're in, eating is a very social event, a very social time. It's always served to draw families and friends closer together. We know the same thing happened in the early church. As the church gathered together for the first time, we read about this in Acts chapter 2. As the church would come together, they would enjoy certain things. And it says, this is Acts 2, 42. And it says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers." I know that there are many that believe that when it talks about breaking the bread there, it's talking about celebrating the Lord's Supper, but it would go beyond that. The Lord's Supper was something that took place because people were together and enjoying the fellowship from one another. You know, as new converts were added, they joined in this common time together and a common meal together. In fact, the Bible says that they devoted themselves. And sometimes I think this may be a reference to the fact that Christians love to eat. I've never been to a church yet where the people didn't say, "Now this church really likes to eat." And the truth is, we do. We enjoy it. But it's not just the food. The food is great. But beyond that, it's the fellowship. It's the coming together as one people and enjoying our conversations and enjoying our expressions of love for one another. But I want to look closer at this breaking of bread. Breaking of the bread. You know, Jesus broke bread with his disciples. It was something that he always did with them. In the Jewish culture, bread was never cut with a knife. That was sacrilege to do that. They would take the bread and they would break the bread. And they felt like by breaking the bread, it was symbolic of their lives together, that they were joining together through the breaking and giving, the breaking and the giving. You know, bread was a staple of life. It was something that was very necessary back, you know, in the time of Jesus and Bible times. Bread didn't contain the things that it contains today. They didn't have white bread back there or bleached flour or whatever. Bread was much heartier. In fact, some of you may be familiar with Ezekiel bread. You can still buy that in grocery stores. It's very expensive, but it's great bread. And the reason it's great is because it's using the same ingredients that were used in Bible times, Ezekiel bread. And it's very healthy, has a lot of vitamin B in that bread, and very healthy and helpful for people. So because bread at that time especially was a staple of life, it was very important to life. Jesus referred to himself as the bread of heaven, the bread that comes down from heaven. Why? Because it was essential to real life, to spiritual life. We read this in John chapter 6, verse 36. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And Jesus was using this illustration of bread, not bread cut, but bread that was broken, as a symbol of salvation, of coming to know him as the true bread of life. Think about the times that Jesus sat before the crowd, in one case 5,000, in another case 4,000, and that was only referring to men. There were also the women and children, servants. So there were large crowds, maybe up to 8,000-9,000 people that were gathered, and Jesus took bread and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and it was passed out among the people, and everybody was fed, and there were 12 baskets left over. There were also fish, but the bread was broken in that case. Also with the 4,000, he took 7 loaves at that time, and giving thanks, it says, and giving thanks, he broke it and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And you know, we don't know, as Jesus broke the bread, did he continue to break it and fill the baskets, or did he break it and give it to the disciples, and as the disciples would break it off, it just multiplied in their hands? But you see, it was a symbol. It was a symbol of the bread of life, the bread of heaven, that was being given to the people, given to the masses. So there was a lot to say about the breaking of bread. It signified family unity. Usually the father would break bread and give it to his family, and it was a symbol of their unity as a family. You know, unfortunately, not many people share common meals together anymore. If you have teenagers, you know that you can say, "Well, we're going to eat at 6 o'clock, but they're going here and they're going there, and they'll grab food as they can." And very few families sit down and enjoy a meal together and talk and get to know one another. But the breaking of bread has to do with family unity, drawing the family closer together. It also symbolizes a unity of faith. You know, in Jewish tradition, you never ate with people that you disagreed with. That's why the disciples were very surprised when Jesus would eat with sinners, with tax collectors and prostitutes, and he would sit down and eat with them, because in the Jewish culture, it symbolized agreement. Well, you must agree with them. But Jesus didn't. That's why he said, the well don't need a doctor. Those who are healed don't need a doctor. It's those who are sick. But he would break bread with them and eat with them and share with them who he was. And I'm sure so many of them came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior during that time and began following after him. But you know, this breaking of bread has an even deeper meaning. Jesus used it as an illustration from Jewish culture to teach a spiritual truth. And that was, when they would eat physical bread, they would grow hungry again. They wouldn't be satisfied. But when they would eat the spiritual bread, the bread that Jesus was giving them, the bread of life, they would never be hungry again. And you know, he said, John chapter 6, verses 56 to 58, he said this, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. And this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." What Jesus was saying was that those who become part of me, those who are willing to surrender their lives to me, well, they will live forever. They're going to receive the bread that satisfies, unlike anything that this world can offer. Everything that we have today in this world brings a lack of satisfaction. We are not content. We are not happy. And we can witness what's taking place outside these walls, even today, Labor Day weekend, of the riots and of the protests and the total dissatisfaction of such a great part of our country. They're unhappy and they're unsatisfied, and they think if we just get this, then somehow we'll be happy. But it's not true. It's not true. There is only one thing that will bring them happiness and satisfaction, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why, as we watch these things on television, and you know, sometimes it makes us angry when we see the things that are taking place. But instead, we should see this as a cry of dissatisfaction, because they don't know the true Savior. They haven't eaten the true bread that comes down from heaven. And as a result, they will never know happiness. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, talks about the fact that God's ear is not so dull or his arm so short that he doesn't hear our prayers, but our sins have caused a separation. And he says, with the evil, with the wicked, there is no peace. They're like the storm-tossed sea. And that's what we're looking at. That's what we're witnessing today. And you know, the truth is, God has touched our hearts and he's opened up avenues of understanding to us that this world is crying out for, but they're never going to hear it unless we tell them. Unless we share with them the true bread of life. The bread of life that came down from heaven. You know, when Jesus talked about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, that was tremendously offensive to the Jews. Jews had very strict dietary laws. And in fact, after that, Jesus and his followers were condemned as being cannibals because they were talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. Of course, Jesus wasn't speaking literally. He was talking figuratively there. But he was saying, unless you allow me to become a part of your life It's just like you can look at a steak and you can smell it and it smells delicious, and you can cut it and look at the texture and you can analyze it. You can do everything else, but it never helps you until you eat it. Once you eat it, then your body is able to use it, and it strengthens you. And it's the same with our relationship with Jesus Christ. There are many who know a lot about Jesus, know a lot about the Bible, but you've never received Him into your heart as Lord and a Savior. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you don't know what it means. Like physical bread, His body had to be broken, and then it had to be shared. And you know, it wasn't until after the crucifixion and the resurrection that His disciples understood what Jesus had been telling them all along. See, those on the road to Emmaus, and that's the passage that we read this morning, those were the two on the road to Emmaus when another person joins them, and they're walking along. Now, these weren't strangers to Jesus. These were disciples of His. So they knew what He looked like. They knew who He was. But they walked all that distance, and they didn't know who He was. And Jesus was sharing things with them, but look what happened to them. All of a sudden, it says, they went to their home, and they were going to share a meal together. And what happened? Jesus took the bread, and He broke the bread. And immediately, their eyes were opened. Immediately, they recognized, well, this is Jesus. And all of a sudden, He just disappeared. But when they went back, when they shared with one another about what was taking place, it says this, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures? And you see, that was taking place in them, but they didn't recognize Jesus as their Lord until the breaking of the bread. It was symbolic, but it was also representative of the price that was paid. And when Jesus broke that bread, their eyes were opened and they saw Him. You know, all the pieces began to come together. Now, some of you may have had a similar experience to what I had. You know, I grew up in the church, but I rebelled against it completely, totally. And yet, against my will, I was drugged to church services. My grandmother would take me to church services constantly, and I would listen to the songs, and, you know, I couldn't wait. I kept looking at my watch, couldn't wait until the time was up so I could get out of there and go and do what I really wanted to do. But, you know, when Jesus opened up my eyes, all of a sudden, little bits and pieces began to come together like a puzzle. Songs that I had sung against my will all of a sudden had new meaning to me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty sins. All of a sudden, it started to come alive to me. It became real to me. Maybe you've had that experience. Maybe you can remember when there was a point in time when everything began to fit together and it's like, oh, now I see it. That's what was happening to those two men. The pieces were all fitting together and they saw that who Jesus really was. I can't think of anything I could pray for more than that would happen to every one of us. That our eyes would be opened, that we could see Jesus for who He really is. Not just the man who died on Calvary, but the one who has called us to walk with Him and surrender our lives to Him and be a part of Him. That we might be able to eat His body and drink His blood. Make our covenant with Him. You see, this is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, first of all, so that we remember. And we remember who we are, what our lives have been like, but we also remember who Jesus is. that he's our Savior. He's the one that paid the price that we can't pay. And by putting our faith and our trust in him, he brings us into our kingdom. He forgives our sin, gives us new life that we remember, and then we repent. You know, the Lord knows, God knows that none of us are perfect. He knows we make mistakes. He knows we do foolish things. But he's given us this way out, and that is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we remember who Jesus is and who we are. And as we remember who we are, we remember how we failed, the things that we've done that aren't right, and we surrender to him. We remember, we repent, and then we return. You know, Israel was called on time after time to renew their covenant with God. That agreement that they've made where it says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And all the people said, we will be your people. That's the covenant. And that's our promise before God. That's what we do this morning. We remember. And then we repent. And then we return. We come back to what God has called us to be and God has called us to do. Not just as a church, but as individuals. This is the blood that we shed for the forgiveness of sin. This was the bread, the body that was broken, that we might have life. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful to you that even as you saw us in our misery and our fallen state, that you had mercy and compassion, that you've called us to be your own, that you paid the price that we couldn't pay, that you purchased us with the blood of our Savior, Jesus. So Lord, this morning, we renew that covenant with you, that you are our God and we are your people. And Lord, that you would touch each one of our hearts and draw us into a closer love for you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul gave us the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 26. And in this passage he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Eat ye all of it." In the same way, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sin. Drink ye all of it." If you would.